Good morning. I'm happy to welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm happy to see all of your bright and sunshiny voice faces here this morning. We have a few announcements for you. I am sure you have all received the email or the letter this week that I am stepping down from pastoring at Glenshaw Valley. I have received a call at Parma South Presbyterian Church in Ohio, and I will be moving to the Cleveland area. My last day here at this pulpit will be September 15th. This is really, really hard for me. I know it's really, really hard for you. It's been a really difficult decision for me. But I know I have all the hope and the acknowledgement knowledge in the world. I know that you will be well taken care of by Session, the presbytery. But more than all of that combined, I know that you will be cared for by Jesus Christ, because Jesus is in this place. With that, on a lighter note, there is a church picnic this after worship today, so make sure you go over to Fellowship Hall and have some chicken and some fellowship. I will be there. That's the other thing. I want you to know that I am still your pastor through the 15th of September. You are still welcome to come talk to me if there's anything that you need. I would love to meet with you. So just let me know, and I will be there. But I'll also be over at the church picnic this morning. Okay. Mickey, when does choir practice start again?
After Labor Day,
The Thursday after Labor Day. Okay, so if you want to join the choir, the Thursday after Labor Day, 7 o'clock?
7:30.
7:30 is when choir practice starts. So the Thursday after Labor Day, 7:30, here at the church in the choir room, cleverly labeled choir room, is where choir practice will be. And finally, we've been off of our Minute for Mission during the summer months. People are on vacation, all sorts of other stuff are going on. But this week, we have a wonderful guest, Josh Fleetman. I met him when I was, well, I didn't meet him. I met someone else from Ceasefire PA when I was in Washington, D.C. When I was at the state capitol. Sorry. When I was at the state capitol advocating against gun violence. Josh Fleetman is here to tell us more about Ceasefire PA and the advocacy they do to help prevent gun violence in Pennsylvania. Come on up, Josh.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much to Reverend Kristen for inviting me into your beautiful church here. I live just nearby here in Shaler and drive past it all the time, but never been inside, so it's really lovely to be here with you all. It has been a pleasure getting to know and working with Reverend Kristen, albeit for too short a time. We're very sad to see her go, and as a Pittsburgher, it is especially painful you're leaving for Ohio. But I really do hope to maintain a relationship with the church, because the Presbyterian denomination specifically has a long and rich history of social justice advocacy, and Ceasefire PA, we partner a lot with many other Presbyterian churches, notably Sixth Presbyterian Church in Squirrel Hill, as well as a network of other faith-based advocates across the whole state. And that's what we do. We are a statewide nonprofit advocacy organization focused single-handedly on ending the gun violence crisis that really is sadly tearing apart all types of communities across the state. And a lot of people, when they think about gun violence, especially in places like Shaler, where we generally feel pretty safe, they'll think about gun violence as a distant problem. This is something in the city, in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia, or maybe it's this terrifying random occurrence of a mass shooting at a school or a grocery store or a house of worship, sadly. And of course, those are very real types of gun violence, but what we don't often hear in the public conversation is the epidemic of gun suicide. And I bet you more than a few people in this room know somebody or know of somebody, of a loved one, who took their own life with a firearm. We hear sad stories of young kids, unfortunately, accessing the firearms of adults that are not securely stored in the home and hurting or killing themselves or their siblings. And so gun violence, it impacts all of us in different ways, of course, and different types of people in different ways. But if there's one message I want to share with all of us today, it's that we can't afford to think about gun violence as a problem over there for those people. It is a problem that affects all of us. And as people of faith, I think we have to be called toward gun violence prevention because, yes, this is a public safety issue. Yes, it's a public health issue. But really, it's a moral issue because as God's creation is being wantonly slaughtered and stricken down, people of faith, I don't think we can sit by and do nothing about that. And especially if it's people that we know and love, or people that we don't know and love, but who are all a part of this beautiful mess that is, you know, and this beautiful life that is God's creation, I think we have to be called to do something about it. And that's what we try to do. We try to share a message that there is something we can do about it, because something else that I think has taken hold in the public conversation is that, well, there's nothing we could do. That's just the way it is. But that is not true. One, we've seen gun violence rates go up from where they used to be. And so we know that just in this country alone, things have changed in the wrong direction. We look at other countries, similar countries across the world, where, you know, they have people with mental health. They have people struggling with poverty and substance use and all sorts of social ills, but they do not have the gun violence that we have here in this country. And so one really important point that I want to share with you all is that in a very sad way, this moral crisis that we're facing is because of a choice that we have all made as a society to allow this to happen. And there's lots of evidence out there. We have some literature in the back on the table about how one great way to do something about this crisis is to put in place laws and policies. And that's what we focus on. That's what Reverend Kristen was in the state capitol in Harrisburg for. We know that, and we're not talking about, you know, things like banning all guns, abolishing the Second Amendment. I want to be clear, that is not the kind of stuff that we are about as an organization. We're about life-saving, sensible policies like expanding background checks, things like a red flag law, where if you are showing signs of being suicidal, a judge can go through a due process to temporarily restrict your access to guns. Things like requiring safe storage of guns in the home to keep them away from kids. Things like if your gun gets lost or stolen, you should be required to report that to police. These are the kinds of common sense, sensible policies that we're pushing for, and we actually have had a good bit of success in Harrisburg this past session. We've been able to pass three of these bills through the state House of Representatives with bipartisan support. Unfortunately, they're stuck in the Senate right now, which it does not seem to have an appetite to move these bills. But I think the progress we've made from marshaling communities of faith like you all, from marshaling doctors and nurses, veterans and law enforcement, gun owners, survivors of gun violence, we've built a really, really broad coalition across the whole state that will come together and say, look, we respect responsible gun ownership, and we know that these kinds of laws are the essence of what it means to be a responsible gun owner, locking your guns up away from kids, reporting them, going through if they get stolen, going through background checks. And so if you're interested in being a part of this movement, we're growing every single day. The voices, again, of people of faith, I think, have an especially strong role to play. We're working with, actually, and this is what brought Reverend Kristen to Harrisburg last year, we're working with the Episcopal Diocese of Central Pennsylvania. They are taking lead on creating a statewide interfaith movement of all types of Christian denominations, of Jewish denominations. There's a Baha'i membership. We're looking to grow into the Hindu and Buddhist and Jain faiths, because all types of faith at their root are about respecting and loving life. And that's the movement we're trying to build. Not a movement about taking guns away, but a movement about respecting life and making sure that our laws are in alignment with that ideal. And so I do wish I could stay with you all and join you for worship, join you for fellowship. But speaking of life, I have an 8-month-old daughter at home who is very lively right now, and I want to give my wife some help taking care of her. So I do have to head out, but I left my business card as well on the table. We have an office in the city. I live just down the street and would love to partner with all of you, with Reverend Kristen's replacement, on helping people of faith have a voice in this movement. So you can go to ceasefirepa.org to learn more. We're always looking for people to come with us to Harrisburg at least once a year. We have local events where we have educational panel discussions, local political action opportunities like rallies in front of state lawmakers' offices, press conferences. We can help you write a letter to the editor, all sorts of ways to make your voice heard and be a part of this movement. So I thank you for the opportunity to address you all. I hope this is not the first time I get to meet with you all. And thank you all so much, and I hope that together we can make a world that is more peaceful. Thank you.
Thanks so much, John.
Yeah. Ceasefire PA does some really wonderful work, and they're actually getting some movement going. You want to get the name of Glenshaw Valley out there, show up in places where people are, and that can see that we're doing good things. With that, let us gather together, proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father. Putting away falsehood, let us speak the truth to our neighbors, confessing our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not lived as your faithful children. We have been angry with the world and nursed grudges against our adversaries. We have hoarded the fruits of our labors rather than share our bounty with the needy. We have not built up our neighbors with words of kindness, but have indulged in evil gossip. We have not forgiven the wrongs others have done, even though we desire your forgiveness toward us in Jesus Christ. Heal us, O God, and give us the grace to love as Christ loved and gave himself up for us. Amen. Let us put away bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven us. Thanks be to God. Friends, let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Let's join together for our congregational anthem, Shout to the Lord. confident in God's love and Jesus Christ, let us pray for the world and for our needs. God of light, bless your universal church. Deliver us from self-righteousness and make us holy in every way, that all people may see you in the witness of your faithful servants. We specifically pray for Glenshaw Valley and its elders. Give them the wisdom to discern your truth, to honor your commandments, to lead with humility. Let them walk blamelessly, do what is right, and to speak from the heart. Bless the nations of the world, O God. Guide the leaders of governments for the sake of peace. Give them sound judgment and merciful hearts, and help them to be accountable for the common good. Save them from the cynicism of war. Free them from the influence of greed. Deliver them from the temptations of social power. God bless Pittsburgh and Shaler Township. Help us live as friends with our neighbors and do good to one another, that homes may be free of fear and families may live in peace. Bless children and those who care for them, O God. Protect them from harm. Give them what they need to grow in body and mind, and provide caring adults to model for them a life of purpose and compassion. Bless all who are ailing in body, mind, or spirit. We especially lift up prayers for Suzanne Connors, who's still dealing with remnants of COVID and some other fun effects from that. Heal all who are ailing of their disease and restore them to the fullness of life. Bless those who face the reproach of society, O God. Those in prison, whether innocent or guilty of crimes. Those who are ostracized due to mental disease, whether or not they pose a threat to others. Those who are homeless, and those who are lost to addiction. Surround them with compassion and save them from your hopelessness. All of these prayers we offer to you by the power of your Holy Spirit and through Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, I've Got Peace Like a River.
I'm not afraid to die.
be seated. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, let us offer ourselves to God with our offering. Receive these gifts, O God. May our lives be fragrant, a fragrant offering that is pleasing to you, in union with Christ's offering for us. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is Ephesians 4, 25, and chapter 5, verse 2, and it's in the NIV version. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, do something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
God of light, let your Holy Spirit illumine our hearts with the light of your redemption, a new day, a new life in Christ. Amen. So I went on a little research rabbit hole adventure this week, Someone mentioned something to me about Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter, and I was wondering, like, I know he went into hospice for a while, and I know that his wife Rosalind passed away last year. Did I miss news of his death? And it turns out, no, I did not. He is still alive at 99 years old. He's not doing great, but he's beat a lot of odds. He had brain cancer, he had liver cancer. His family reports that he spends a lot of his time sleeping, which I think at 99 years old you deserve to be able to do. But he still really enjoys visits from his family and from his close friends. And I can't say, I don't know a whole lot about Carter, definitely not firsthand knowledge. He was president for the first 4 years of my life. So I've heard a lot of not so great sentiments about his time in the Oval Office. Like, he was too liberal for conservatives, he was too conservative for liberals. There was the failed hostage negotiation, a little bit of a recession while he was off in office. Those things didn't really win him any bonus points. But peace was really important to this relatively simple peanut farmer. It was so important to him, in fact, that when he was trying to broker a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel, he offered a little retreat for the President Anwar Sadat and Prime Minister Menachem Begin at Camp David. And then when the two men refused to even sit next to each other, he wiggled his way in between them so that they didn't have to sit next to each other, so that they could keep on track and keep negotiations going. In post-presidency, Jimmy Carter started the Carter Center. And the mission at the Carter Center is waging peace, fighting disease, building hope. And in 2002, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for decades of untiring efforts to find peaceful solutions to international conflicts, to advance democracy and human rights, and to promote economic and social development. But if you were to ask him, he didn't do anything all that special in his life. He was merely a devoted Christian. Yeah, his position in politics provided him access to important people and issues across the globe. And he was placed under a much bigger spotlight than you or I will ever experience. But it wasn't those things that mattered to him. Regardless of his station in life, Jimmy Carter's faith guided him towards making peace in each and every interaction that he had. It was a non-negotiable. Knowing that he had taught Sunday school for most of his adult life, someone a few years ago asked him, if you had one final Sunday school class to teach, what topic and Bible verses would you choose? And Carter replied that it would be Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And then he continued on, being kind is challenging. We now have the possibility of eliminating all living creatures on Earth with the use of nuclear weapons. The next step in the evolution of human beings has to be learning how to live with each other in peace and with some degree of love. We have to learn how to get along with Russians and Muslims and North Koreans in a constructive spirit of care instead of asking what's the best excuse we have to go to war with them. I fully acknowledge that the word peace doesn't make an obvious appearance in this passage. I think Carter's response, although spoken of at a much more macro level than most of us will have the opportunity to affect, shows how kindness and peace are interrelated. The book of Ephesians is telling the church how to be a community worthy of the gospel. Even in the midst of interpersonal conflicts, once we receive this new life in Jesus Christ, our identities, both as individuals and as a community, are radically transformed. And the author of Ephesians is trying to provide practical advice to the church about how to avoid conflict, both with one another and those who are not part of the church. Speak the truth. Speak in the positive. Avoid bitterness. Forgive one another. By acting in these ways, we can be imitators of God. Imitating God. We can live as God's beloved children. Okay, Bible quiz time. Do you remember in the Beatitudes when Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called children of God"? I've seen some interpretations that imply only certain people are peacemakers. I'm sorry, I was just thinking about the life of Brian, and when they hear him say, "Blessed are the peacemakers," and he says, "Blessed are the cheesemakers." No, it's a euphemism. It's all, yeah, dairy products. Anyway. I've seen some interpretations that imply only certain people are peacemakers, so that only certain people are God's children. But when I read this letter in Ephesians, I think it's saying that we are all children of God. And because we are children of God, we are called to be peacemakers. In other words, working for peace isn't optional for Christians. I fully get that we are all human. None of us is perfect. I say and do regretful things on a daily basis. But when I watch the news or I read a comment on an article or see a Facebook post from some purported Christians, the things we say and do to each other is disturbing. Some of the most negative, hostile, and unloving things that I've seen and heard have come from people who purport to be Christians. I get that moral and ethical issues become heated, and that the stakes are very high. And our passions just seem to escalate when we're trying to defend God. First of all, God doesn't need defending. And our words and actions are being carefully watched by those around us. And I assure you, we are not convincing anyone to follow Christ by condemning every person who doesn't look, act, or believe like we do. We're not making peace. We're tearing apart and causing great harm to the Christian community. And beyond that, more importantly, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. Who wants to be around a bunch of judgmental, destructive, and angry people? Yeah, I don't. I'm not saying that we should be shiny, happy people all the time and in all places. Ephesians tells us that righteous anger is a valid emotion. We are allowed to be angry. What we do with that anger is important. We cannot let that anger lead us into sin. We are to speak truthfully, resolve our conflicts, choose our words carefully, resist bitterness and slander. We, not just the church at Ephesus, but all Christians, are to be kind and use our words and actions to build up, not tear down. We are to be tender-hearted and forgiving, and that is vulnerable. We might get hurt. That's okay. We've got a big community of people who can help to heal you. We've got a Jesus who will heal you. We are to be peacemakers despite our anger. We are to be like Christ. And our motive? Our motive is the experience that we have received God's forgiveness. The forgiveness that we have received from God in our lives. That is our motive. The peace that God has created within our souls. God's self-emptying love creates bridges that connect, not walls that divide. Being a bridge builder, a peacemaker, requires sacrifice of yourself. Giving up our need to be right, our need to feel superior. And in return, we are given a very unique opportunity to participate in the amazing work of Jesus Christ. Jimmy Carter took this passage to heart. His faith in God, his gratitude for all that Christ has done for him, motivated him to make peace in every place he encountered. Through his 77 years with Rosalind, in his family relationships, in his church community, in his diplomacy both during and after his presidency. Jimmy Carter is certainly not a perfect man, and he certainly wasn't a perfect president. But more people know the love, light, and peace of Christ because of Jimmy's peacemaking. May we also be imitators of Christ by making peace. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Son of God, whose heart is at peace. before we go and eat some yummy food and engage in fellowship and peacemaking with one another at our picnic, let me offer you a charge and a benediction. Now go and walk with God in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and speaking the truth in love. May God, Creator, Christ, Holy Spirit, fill you with all good things, providing for you today and forever. Amen.